Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again. You're with Reverend Dr. Floyd D. Harris, Jr., host for New Life, for New Life Church of God, New Christian Radio Show. We're happy to be broadcasting from the West Coast, Fresno, California, the golden heart of the San Joaquin Valley. We're happy to be on the show with you again tonight. We going to be having our senior pastor call in today, the founder of New Life, New Life Church of God, who has been in the ministry for over 33 years. We're here today, Sunday, at 8 p.m., and we are glad to be on the air again tonight. We're on the air last week, same time, and we're on the air again this week, same time. And it has been a long day for me. I had to bring the sermon this morning. And, you know, when you preach in the Word of God, I let it all hang out. I'd be so exhausted when I finish. I can barely make it to my seat after the sermon. But I'm glad to be preaching God's Word. I was preaching today out of the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm today. And a very good response from my congregation. I received text messages saying that they really enjoyed the message this morning. And so the Bible says that, you know, where two or three are gathered, I am in the midst. I know a lot of times we would like to preach to a full house, but I have the same intensity of preaching with a full house with just two or three people. Because two or three people's lives are just as important as a full house. And so we're just glad to be able to minister this morning at New Life from Life Church of God here in West Fresno, 1106 West Woodworth. We are a social justice ministry here on the West Coast. We do believe in speaking truth to power. We do advocate for people. We do march. We do sit-ins. And we do everything that King did, identically as Dr. King, Malcolm, and many of our religious leaders in the past, standing up for people rights. But again, if you feel the need to want to on the internet, you will see that there's different pictures that are rotating. I took some pictures today of our pastor, Senior Pastor Paul McCoy, and beautiful pictures that came out. You see them rotating on the screen there, two or three of them. And on the screen also, we have our church website, our church website, tpp://xyfloyd.wix.com/new-LIGHT. That is our church website that is there. And under that, you will see our church Facebook that is right up under there on the screen for those who have the computer set up this evening. But we would just like for you to relax and enjoy the show. Me and Dr. Kennedy, we come on 5 days a week, Real Talk with the Number One Doctors. We will be on the air tomorrow, hopefully at 3 o'clock. If we miss the 3 o'clock, we'll be on at 8 o'clock. But we try to make sure that we are able to try to make it good for everyone. But it's pretty difficult to try to make it perfect for everyone, because on the East Coast, there is a three-hour difference than here on the West Coast. And so we try to be able to make it convenient for everyone, but it's pretty difficult, as you know, trying to accommodate everyone from the West Coast to the East Coast. But again, New Radio Show, a lot of activity has been going on this weekend. We do know that Minister Farrakhan was in Washington, D.C. This past Saturday. Many, many people from all walks of life who went from overseas, from the Caribbean, from the United States of America, all from their different states. And it was just wonderful, wonderful. I did not get a chance to make it. I know Lady J went, Brother Kayende, who was a former African-American professor here, he went. And so we're going to get a chance this week to bring them on our show with Real Talk with the Number One Doctor so that they would be able to enlighten us on what happened back then. What did they see? What can they bring back to Fresno that the minister said that can help make God's children, make God's place a better place to live? And so I think my pastor, Pastor Paul McCoy, who was very instrumental in bringing Minister Farrakhan here to Fresno many years ago, was very successful. I know that we do know the minister firsthand. He has shaken his hand. He has sat on the stage with the minister. And the minister had the utmost respect for our senior pastor, Pastor Paul McCoy, who believe in the principles of Jesus. And so as the minister came to Fresno, he was greeted with great hospitality. Funny that there was pushback here in Fresno from some people for receiving the minister here. But the minister is 82 years old, and he is still moving strong. He is still fired up. He's been transparent with his message. He's been consistent with his message. And he has energized the young generation. He said that the minister said that this generation is the most fearless generation that he has ever seen, which means that this generation will stand up. They're not going to bow down. And I believe that's what Jesus Christ was about, doing anything. But Jesus Christ came to straighten up everything. And he had 12 disciples, 12 disciples that he gave job tasks to do. And no one out of the 12, one betrayed him. And so we're here again, and I'd like to bring on our senior pastor. And if I'm looking at my screen correct here, I see another number, 1023. 1023. If I'm looking at that number right, I believe that's Dr. Jean Kennedy's phone number from Atlanta, Georgia, and I know that she will be flying in from Atlanta to Fresno to be with us here in the next coming weeks. And we're just excited to have her come back home. And before we bring our senior pastor in, Pastor Paul McCoy, on his new radio station, New Life, My Church of God Christian radio show, I'd like to bring Dr. Jean Kennedy in so that she could maybe give us some encouraging words, and maybe she heard some sound bites from the minister this past weekend. And maybe Dr. Kennedy, as an organizational psychologist, was a very a Christian woman, a woman who I have the utmost respect for, who stands for justice, peace, and equality for all people. I'd just like to bring her on for a little bit to get her perspective on where she sees us at as a country right now and as a people right now, and how does that, what's going on now, what is a cross-reference to the Bible. Dr. Jean Kennedy, welcome to our show. Welcome to New Life and Light Church of God, New Christian Radio Show, broadcasting out of the West Coast, Fresno, California. Are you there, Dr. Willis? Okay, well, we will go to our senior pastor. Maybe she's having some phone issues there. But we'll go to our senior pastor here, Pastor Paul McCoy. Pastor Paul McCoy, welcome to your radio show, New Light, Light Church of God, here broadcasting off the West Coast. Good evening, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing well there, Dr. Harris. Always an honor and a joy to be part of the show. We all are doing a great work in communicating to our audience and keeping them informed of the highlights of the activities of the church. And we pray that our listeners are healthy, are strong, and that something that they may hear may continue to keep them inspired.
Yes, Pastor. You were very instrumental in bringing Minister Louis Farrakhan to Fresno. I forget what year it was. And the minister just had a Million Man March anniversary on Washington this past weekend. What are your thoughts, Pastor, as bringing the minister to Fresno and seeing him again, once again, in Washington? Has much changed in the aspect of where we are? And does the Bible speak about what the minister is saying today, relevant to the society today?
And Dr. Harris, a number of us back in 1979, if I remember correctly, we brought the minister here, and his first visit, we held him at Edison High School in the cafeteria. And I can never forget that at that time, it so happened that his visit here coincided with Edison High School football game. And we all know how important Edison High football game is to the community. So that evening, the football game was going on, and it was packed to the rafters. But more importantly, the minister and his visit to Fresno at the Edison High School cafeteria was also packed. And that was so exhilarating. And one of the things I am so gleeful about in terms of that event is the fact that it began a transformation in people's lives. People to this very day who participated and who were there speaks about that visit then. And it really touches my heart that people in their own way are still active. They are still communicating the message at the time. And they are avid supporters of the message that the minister speaks in trying to uplift and transform the lives of black people here in America. And so that was his first visit. And then he had another visit to Fresno, whereby he came and spoke at the exhibit hall. And that was also very, very exciting. That was in 1994, I believe it was, right before the Million Man March. He made the announcement of the Million Man March right here in Fresno. And so that in itself was very exciting. It, too, was packed to the rafters. I didn't realize there were so many black folks here in Fresno. But his presence brought black people out from all areas of this valley. And I haven't seen a person that has been able to be that attractive and that powerful to attract black people of every walk of life to come out. So God was in the house, and we still reverberating from his visit those two times. We are active watchers and supporters of the minister, and the message that he brings, and it just keeps us inspired into this very day, that even those of us then, even our children now, are active supporters. So God is good to us.
Yes, Pastor, it's very inspiration to hear the minister speak and to just really know that he stepped, his feet was on the soil of Fresno, and to give a powerful message. In our social hall, I posted up some pictures of the minister when he was speaking at Fresno Temple, which was the next day after he left the convention center. And I believe Bishop Wilson was the bishop at the time, which has deceased at this time. And we just thank the bishop for allowing the minister to speak. Pastor, just one more question. We have some callers on the line. Pastor, why the Christian church, some of our pastors across the country, do not welcome the minister to speak at their podium? Can you chime in on that and give us a little history or background on that?
Even in the days of Jesus, although the masses of the people loved him, there were critical elements in the community that was fearful of Jesus. And so it is today, as it was back in the days when Minister Farrakhan came to Fresno, is that people base their judgment on a person by what they hear, and not necessarily over about what they actually know. And so when the enemy comes in and wants to keep us divided and keep us away from the truth, they would spread rumors and spread lies and spread misinformation to keep a community up in an uproar, to keep it divided from the minister, keep it divided from people who are bringing a lively message that will help inspire and transform a people. So we have to understand that in this day and time, from our ignorance, people make profit, people make money, people maintain their position. And so when truth comes and when truth speaks to power, power doesn't appreciate that, doesn't like that. And the first thing that power is going to do is spread rumors. And so they did it to Jesus. They did it to Ida B. Wells. They did it to Harriet Tubman. You know, they did it to Malcolm X, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They did it to countless men and women that always strove to make life better for black people, for people of color. They start out telling lies and spreading misinformation. So even when Minister Farrakhan came to Fresno, we had the same situation here. Your major churches would not support him. They would not come close to him, and primarily because black churches there are financed by big money interests, and they and a church pastor does not want that money interest to be distorted, to be tampered with. So if the master says, I don't want you around so-and-so person, you know, the pastor is going to leave his church not to be around. But God is good because even though the pastors weren't present, the people were present. And they packed the house while Mr. Farrakhan was here in Fresno. And that was the greatest joy and greatest experience that each one of us could ever have seen, was to see a packed house and people appreciating and that loved us and we loved him.
Wow, that's interesting. And so the minister, he gets this pushback. I mean, it's just hard for me to understand, Pastor, the minister. People say, you know, he's a hater, he don't like white people, but yet at the same time, as we spoke today in Chicago, you know, Father Flang is one of the prominent ministers in Chicago that advocates for poor people and what have you, and all people. And, you know, when the minister speaks, he has, you know, Caucasian people on the dice when he's speaking. So it's hard for me. I mean, I can't even fathom that he's racist or, I mean, he hasn't shot nobody. He hasn't murdered nobody. He hasn't took nobody's wife. He has, I mean, so it's just mind-boggling that a man of his caliber who can draw that many people to Washington, not just once, not just twice, but he people love him all over the world. And the mainstream media, I mean, the church, as you know, Pastor, was the link in the civil rights movement. And so there's a role for the church. Pastor, we're going to go to our next person, Dr. Gene Kennedy. Dr. Gene Kennedy, welcome to New Life, Life Church of God. Dr. Gene Kennedy is my co-host on Real Talk with the Number One Doctors. And we won't call her 50062. Please don't hang up because we want to get you in on this conversation and your perspective. Dr. Gene Kennedy, welcome to New Life and Life Church of God. We're waiting on you, Doctor, to enter Fresno.
Well, thank you very much for having an opportunity to come on your show this evening. I had my phone on mute when you were calling me. So much for technology, but it's wonderful to know that your church can have such an innovative idea in using technology. Sure, certainly we live in the time in which technology is the thing that's driving, the driving force today. And so church has to be done differently. Fellowship has to be done differently. Coming together and having a fellowship and communication from a faith perspective has to be done differently. And this is one of many ways where people who are shut-ins or cannot attend a physical place, but they can go onto their computers, download an app, and be able to participate even in your church. So the idea is very a novelty idea, and I think it's great for your church to be thinking out the box. Our church to be thinking out the box in such a way. I'm over 3,000 miles away, representing your congregation in the social justice area that I work in. That is where my calling is, and it is great to be able to be here and have a voice and a presence on behalf of your congregation. And so, yes, we have been as excited here in Atlanta as you have been on the West Coast. We had over 15 buses, lead coaches actually, leave Atlanta. Only Atlanta. We had several other cities that also contributed to that. So one city alone put out over 15 buses that was jam-packed, not to mention the cars, not to mention other transportation. And I don't know that if you had that that communication there in Fresno, but one of the communications that we had here in Georgia, Atlanta, was our hearts were so saddened because there were so many black men that the system has taken out of our community and put them in the prison systems. And because of the recent acknowledgement that we are overpopulated in the prison systems, and because of the attack on our black men going into the prison system, they have emptied out the jails across the nation, as you're aware. But what we also were not aware of, or maybe it's brought to our attention, many of our black men who came out of the prison system were not permitted or allowed to leave the state to attend this wonderful gathering. And so we continue to maintain a level of prison, it seems like. When we're not physically locked up, we're emotionally locked up, we're spiritually locked up, we're physically locked up. And there has to be an exit in. There has to be an opportunity for us to be free in our minds, in our spirits. And this is what Reverend Minister Farrakhan was doing this weekend, trying to free our black men's minds so that they can take their rightful place in society and in their families. But we had so many of our men who wanted to go, ladies and gentlemen, no doubt in your city also, but because they had a felon, they were not permitted to leave the state. And many of them started early enough to speak to their parole officers and to get the necessary paperwork so that they could leave. They had their tickets in hand. They had paid their ways to go. And yet the system held them up intentionally, is my opinion and many others, so that when it came time for them to get on that bus, they did not have the proper paperwork so that they would not be in violation of their parole. This is intentional. This is the next level of what's going on in our communities, people. And so if we're going to just sit there and think, oh, well, it's just Brother Farrakhan, and oh, well, it's just Brother McCoy, and oh, well, it's just Reverend Harris and Dr. Kennedy, they're just talking, but they don't really know what they're talking about. I want you to understand that these are serious times in which we're living in. And the minister recognizes that our young people are fearless. They are not afraid to die. And this is the times in which we're living in. And we have got to make sure that we are free across the board. We cannot be out of the prison system as returning citizens, and yet we're still holding papers on one another. Yes, we can vote, but yet we still can't leave our states to come together, to congregate, to have one voice and one mind. And so I wanted to bring that to our attention so that we realize that while this wonderful gathering was going on, there were still many who wanted to go and should have been able to go, but they were not able to go because the system still found a way to tie them up and lock them up in a psychological way and also in a legal way so that they could not even attend and be part of the gathering this weekend.
Well, Dr. Kennedy, you at one point in time, we were speaking in regards to the Nation of Islam, and I know at one certain part. Before I go into that, we want to thank everyone for tuning in. Those who are on the line, please stay on the line. Don't hang up. Those who are on the internet will be going off at this moment. We just want to thank you for tuning in. Please go back to the archives if you were not able to listen to the show. This is Reverend Harris, Assistant Pastor of New Life from Light Church of God, our Senior Pastor Paul McCoy, who is the founding pastor of New Life from Light Church of God. He is on the line with us, shared some good thoughts with us here about the Minister Farrakhan being in Washington, as well as the minister coming to Fresno, California. And so we just want to thank our pastor for taking a time out on a Sunday to come in and enlighten us and encourage us. Dr. Kennedy, I'd like to get back to you. I know that many, many people have their prejudice against the Nation of Islam. Whatever the prejudice reasons are for. And even some Christians, as my pastor spoke earlier in regards to the minister and some of the Christian churches here, was in opposition of the minister saying that reference that he's a racist and he don't like white people, he's a hater. You had an opportunity to ride the bus with some of the Nation of Islam members and the followers of Honorable Louis, Mr. Farrakhan. And I forget what event you went to, but I do remember the conversation as you coming from a Christian background. Your father's a bishop, and so you're very ingrained in the Christian faith. And maybe before then you may have had some little concerns about the Nation of Islam, but can you give us from your perspective when you were on the bus with the Nation of Islam, the women, the men, how were you treated on that bus? I mean, were you treated with dignity and respect? Or was it a bus ride that you said, you know, I'd never, ever will get on the bus with these crazy folks, Nation of Islam people? What was your experience on that bus ride for a couple of hours to your destination?
Yes, about a year ago, Brother Harris and listening audience, I had a chance to go to North Carolina. It was Our Savior's Day, and again, several buses were pulling out of Georgia, and I had an opportunity to reserve a seat on the bus. It was a memorable experience. I actually stayed over. And so I shared rooms with our Nation of Islam sisters. And I tell you what, it was such a respectful, a wonderful time. The crowds of people that was there that came from all over the country. Some things that stood out in my mind, Brother Harris, was how respectful the children were. You know, we've lost the time for where our kids now say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Used to be even in the South. That's what made the kids so different from the ones in the West Coast, because the kids in the West Coast tend to say, hey, guys, what's happening, guys, you know, and that can be looked upon sometimes as not being respectful to the elders. And so in the South, you would hear them say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. But you're hardly getting any yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir anymore. That's gone out of the window, even with our Southern kids. But you do not get that with the Nation of Islam's children. Those children are being raised even today with peer pressure. They still know how to say, yes, ma'am, no, sir, and very extremely respectful. And it was such music to my ears to see them so well behave. The security was very tight for obvious reasons. And when they went into the dome, literally standing room only in the dome, that was in North Carolina, their dome in downtown Charlotte, and the Charlotte Dome. And I tell you something, you could have dropped a pin when the minister came on that stage, and the words were so powerful. And, you know, there were a few white people that were in there, but they were the white journalists. He allowed the white journalists to come in because he did not want them just putting their own story to information. He wanted them to be there to hear exactly what he had to say and so they could quote him correctly. But it was not a spectator. It was not just white people coming in all over the place just to sit down. Those white folks were in one place, one area, so you could pretty much focus in and know where they were. And they were all journalists. So that was the only way that they could get in. Otherwise, the minister was speaking to black people, speaking into their spirit, speaking into their soul. Yes, I am a Christian. But, you know, when I was there, it was not a religious gathering. I don't know why we can't get this thing straight in our minds. When Brother Farrakhan comes to a community, he's not coming to hold church. If he was going to do that, we would meet over in the mosque. When he comes to give information, to speak into our lives as black people, to help us to understand what time of the day it is. He is not trying to win you over to the nation. Now, look, if you love what he has to say, like anything else, then you go, you join. If I go into a Republican's party gathering to hear what their platform is going to be, that does not mean that I'm trying to be a Republican or if I'm in of another party. So I don't understand why we can't get this straight. When he comes to town, and I'm just very, very saddened that our ministers, our Christian ministers, would be so short-sighted in their ways. What are they afraid of? What are they afraid of? Even Jesus himself was able to take on the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests in his day. He was not afraid to have a conversation with them because he was so assured of who he was and the knowledge he had. And so what is it about our pastors that feel that they cannot welcome Minister Farrakhan to come into the community to speak about the issues of civil rights, to speak about the issues of human rights, to speak about the oppression that black people are still under, to speak about we being a sovereign nation? That is what he speaks about. When he speaks to the nation of Islam, he refers to them, they are a sovereign nation. He wants them to see themselves as one people, as a class of people that is being acknowledged. Without a shadow of the doubt, this nation recognizes the nation of Islam. Can I say that again? Without a shadow of a doubt, this nation, this United States of America, understands very clearly that the nation of Islam is a class of people that is acknowledged. They come up under the Amendment 14 rights. They therefore understand who they are as a class of people. And it is important for us to understand that, because outside of that, we're just black Americans in America. They may want to listen to us, may not want to listen to us. But when you come together in this sort of a fashion where we can have a heart-to-heart conversation, he recognizes and exercises the rights and let people know that they must know their rights. Let me say one more thing before I turn back over to you, Reverend Harris. It is a known fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen to what I'm saying. It is a known fact that the police do not go around shooting Nation of Islam brothers in the back and beating them down like they do with other black brothers. Can I say that again? I need you to understand what I'm saying. It is a known fact that the police department do not go around harassing and beating and shoving folks to the ground who happen to be part of the Nation of Islam. If they accidentally do that, they know they got to answer to an entire class of people. And yet other black people, we get that done to us. You know why they do that? It's because they know that the Nation of Islam, every last one of those people know their rights. They know their rights, and they stand up to the police institutions and to the penal system institutions because they are taught to know their rights. They don't have to be bourgeois. They don't have to flaunt their degrees. They understand in the system in which they're living, all that Brother Farrakhan wants to do is get us all to understand who we are and what our rights are in this country. So, yes, I felt very embraced. I felt very much part of them, even though I was a Christian person. But it was not about my faith. It was about listening to what is to us as a group of people in this country who are not being acknowledged for our class status.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy, for those kind words. We're going to go to caller 5006. Caller 5006, Dr. Kennedy just gave her perspective on the Honorable Louis Minister Farrakhan was our senior pastor, Pastor Paul McCoy, who is the founder of New Life, New Life Church of God radio show here tonight. Caller 5006, welcome to New Life, New Life Church of God. If you just have a statement or a comment that you would like to give us tonight.
Yes. My name is Ernest Lockhart. I listen to your radio station every time I get a chance. I must apologize for being late today. You guys are filling me up with so much light every night. I appreciate you all. Keep on doing what you're doing. If there's anything that I can do to help support, I'm with you. I appreciate all that you do. God bless you all.
Thank you so much for your support, caller. We really appreciate your prayers and concerns. And thank you for tuning in to the New Life Light Church of God. I believe that is Brother Ernest, who is a strong supporter of our ministry, which he belongs to another church. And it's okay to fellowship with other churches. I think that's a good thing. We're going to go back to Senior Pastor, Pastor Paul McCoy. Pastors, in about 1 minute, is there any final words that you would like to give us as we go toward the end of our show in 1 minute?
very simply, when you hear our women such as Dr. Kennedy, and good evening, Dr. Kennedy, when you hear sisters such as Dr. Kennedy, when they speak truth to power, there's an earthquake occurring. And as she was speaking, she was just shaking my soul because of her love for truth, her love for people, and her love for the minister and the work that he does. And so it just gives me a great humility to hear a sister such as the caliber of Dr. Kennedy to speak the words that she spoke. They are awesome. They are powerful. And it's my prayer and my hope that many more like her hear the word and allow the word to inspire them to greatness.
Thank you, Pastor, for those kind words. Dr. Jean Kennedy, you're there on the line. We have about 2 minutes,
yes.
Doctor. Can you just in 2 minutes give us any final encouraging words that you may want to have before we go off our show tonight?
Yes, again, I think that the church is doing a great work. Reverend Harris, yourself, in doing the show. I think it's wonderful that we can come together and speak truth to power. We're not saying anything that is not in the Word. Our model, the person that we follow, is Jesus Christ. As Reverend Farrakhan also acknowledges Christ. And of course, they're great men. The difference between Christ and the difference between so many of the others is that we believe that Christ was raised from the dead. That's our Christian faith. But that does not mean that we cannot join together in solidarity on issues that are of the heart. And so we're so pleased tonight to have this radio show, to be able to speak truth to power, to see what it is that the Master would have us do. We're to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to compel them to follow Christ. And so we're so thankful. America is going through her changes, and we have got to know what time of the day it is. And so, again, we must speak the truth to power. I'm very glad to be with you tonight. Looking forward to further shows.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. We really appreciate that. We have 2 minutes for our show go off. I want to end the show here today with a prayer to pray for the safety, pray for the wisdom. We're going to be having a new president be coming in here real soon to the United States of America. How is that going to affect people? How is it going to affect black people with the police brutality and the different things that we are facing today here in America? Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the supporters who are on the line. We thank you for those who have supported us in the past. Lord, we ask, Lord, as we get ready for our week, the trials and tribulations that we are going to face, Lord, we ask that you just give us the courage and the wisdom. We thank you for Dr. Kennedy, who will be coming back to California here in the next week or so. Lord, we ask for her safety. We ask for special prayer for Brother Ernest, Lord, for the issues that he has to deal with and confront each and every day at the workforce. We pray thanks for our pastor, Senior Pastor Paul McCoy, who is the founder of New Life and Life Church of God. We thank you for his covering. We thank you for his vision. We thank you for all the days that he has labored in this community to uplift your people and to keep to build God's kingdom. Lord, we just ask right now that you will bless our ministry at our church, and that this radio show will be a show that will bring people closer to you and to learn more about the work that we do. We just thank you. We uplift you, Lord. Give us the strength, Lord. Give me the strength, Lord. We know the trials that I go through each and every day, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. And if we all can say, amen.
Amen.
Amen.